Good afternoon. It is one bell of the afternoon watch, and this is your Captain Joe up in the captain's chair. And I have such a special program today. It's one that I've been looking forward to for a long time. My friend and colleague and partner in a number of different things that we've done together for the island community, Erin Durrett, is sitting across from me. And I'm going to introduce her in a couple of minutes, but first, of course, we need to take care of ship's business. This is your Captain Joe, of course, on the voice of Vashon 101.9 on the FM band and streaming live all over the world on the voice of Vashon.org. I send out greetings, in particular this time, to all of Captain Joe's people who have bought lottery tickets. Erin, have you bought a lottery ticket yet for the great sweep of the Thriftway of Thriftway?
For the Voice of Vashon?
Well, for Voice of Vashon, of course.
Of course. Well, not yet, but I have just heard all about it. So.
All right. So, so for all of Captain Joe's people who have bought this, of course, is what helps to pay for keeping the Voice of Vashon on the air. And for those of you who are financial supporters of your captain and from the captain's chair, know that we are still accepting, reluctantly, of course, but we are still accepting applications to buy lottery tickets. You can learn about it by going on to voiceofvashon.org, and I'm not going to take any more of my time except to urge anyone who feels that they have been left out to go ahead and take care of that little piece of family business. This is all what helps keep us on the air. And so the second thing, of course, is the binnacle list, and I have some really sad news to report on the binnacle list. In that one of my road family has really run aground, and we are as a family of several families that all came together when Mary R. died, and we formed up into a much larger family for mutual support, and that's where we are with Jeff, who is one of the members of my road family. It is a multiple things that are going on, and the situation is pretty dire. I also want to mention that many people, this is the summertime, and most of you know that I refuse to wear a cover. I use a lot of sunscreen, but there are many people who are more and more susceptible to skin cancers, and so I am urging people who have something that needs to be attended to and looked at by a dermatologist that you go ahead and do that and take care of it, because if you deal with those things early, then you may not have to deal with them in a much more serious way later on. So I am aware of several of Captain Joe's people who have got surgery scheduled to do just that. And, of course, I encourage that as I do every week. That is my wish, my desire, my hope, and my command that everyone will follow the instructions of their particular medical practitioner. And in particular this week, we're talking in particular about people who have possible skin cancers and that they deal with those. So now, Erin, it is time for you to come on. And I would like for you to... one of the things we talked about before we came on the air was your educational history, and I found it to be particularly interesting. So let's start with that, and then we will go from there into an event that happened to me during my tours on Sunday, and I'm going to ask you to see what you think about the Kula cloth. Okay, so let's start with your educational history. Tell us a little bit about yourself, love.
Sure. Well, I was born in Oklahoma. I grew up in the town of Tahlequah, Oklahoma, for which our South End Ferry Dock was named. in a very strange and bizarre coincidence.
That's the end of the island in which I live.
Uh-huh, indeed it is. And the first time I came to Vashon working for some local farmers, I was standing, I didn't have a car, so I was standing in the middle of town waiting for the bus, and I looked across the street and there was a sign that said, Tahlequah, with an arrow pointing south. And I read it over and over and over again because I could not believe it. But the only other Tahlequah in existence, and I found it. I did. I grew up in Tahlequah. I went to the small university, Northeastern Oklahoma State, when I graduated high school. And then I went to OU for a semester. And then I went to Bennington, where I got my BA and was fortunate enough during that experience at Bennington to be able to go and study for part of that time in London at the Royal Academy of Dramatic Art, which was a really an incredible experience.
Tell our listeners where Bennington is.
Bennington is in Vermont.
Yes.
Yes, yes. And, you know, being a kid from the Midwest, going to the East Coast for the first time, that was quite a culture shock.
Yes.
For me, that was some serious culture shock. But fortunately, my husband of now 41 years was also a student at Bennington. And so we were there together, which was wonderful. And yeah, and then I graduated from Bennington. When we graduated from Bennington, we decided that we didn't want to go to LA or Chicago, any of the really big theater towns. And so we had heard great things about Seattle when we were in London. And so we decided that we would move to Seattle. And we were married officially in October of 1986. And we put everything we owned in our little hatchback car and drove out here without knowing anybody or having a job, with complete trust that that the world would support us. And it has indeed. We have ended up in this corner of heaven somehow, and it's just absolutely miraculous. And I was lucky enough to find more incredible opportunities at the University of Washington and the University of British Columbia to study early music, which is my love. I have been teaching and singing both as a liturgical musician in the Episcopal and Catholic churches, and as a teacher of early music myself now for the last several years.
So you just mentioned Darren, your husband. And so this gives us the opportunity to bring in what he is up to right now. And in fact, it was your announcement of that to me that said, well, you need to come on the my broadcast with me before Darren's event. So okay. Tell us what that is all about. I think it's very exciting. And I will make a parenthetical insertion here that we have done at least one or two of Darren's performances out at Point Robinson Light. And I'm going to bring that in when you are finished with the little advert that we're going to do for what Darren is doing right now. Carry on.
Okay. Darren Lay, my husband, runs a nonprofit called the Young Shakespeare Workshop.
And it truly is a nonprofit. I happen to know that, yes.
It truly is. Oh, he does all the fundraising himself. He writes grants. And what he does is he takes that grant money and he goes into the low-income public schools during the school year, and he offers them a program of Shakespeare. He works with language arts teachers and theater teachers in the public schools, and he brings the financing with him. So the kids are able to get an exposure to Shakespeare during the school year, And then during the summer, he opens up the program for kids from all over the city to come in, kids who are passionate about language, kids who love beautiful language. And these kids come from all over the city. And what's beautiful about it is the program is free for these kids. So they come from every conceivable background. They speak languages from all over the world, you know, but they come in because they love, there's something about Shakespeare, something about this beautiful English language that they love. And he brings them together during the summer in an intensive program and teaches them sword fighting, voice work, how to read Shakespeare straight from original folio, and how to do scene work and sonnets. They cover all of this during their first year intensive. And then those kids are invited to come back every year for as long as they want to, even up into their college years, to participate in the full-length production that Young Shakespeare Workshop offers every year. This year it's going to be King Lear, and the two performances will be at the Erickson Theater, which is right behind the Egyptian Theater on Capitol Hill, August 18th and 19th, which is a Friday and a Saturday at 7 p.m. And it's going to be an amazing show this year because so many of the cast members are young people and, you know, even people up into their early 30s who have been through this program, who have come back year after year to mentor the younger kids in the program. And it's going to be an amazing show with an amazing cast this year.
Whenever I have someone on, and I do not have guests, you know, I only have friends that come on this broadcast with me. And whenever I have one of them on who is involved with a nonprofit, it is my custom to make a donation to that nonprofit. And so I'm doing that right now. I'm handing across to you a donation to go to help put together the, to keep going, the, now you don't have to tear up, but I did not tell you this was going to happen, but you, if you listen to my broadcast before, you know that whenever I have somebody on here that is a nonprofit, that it is my custom to make a donation, and I've done that. So one of the things that Aaron did not mention, but I did briefly, was that we have had a couple of the of Darren's Shakespeare performances out at Point Robinson. And I recall one in particular that we had out by the barn, and we set up some sort of screening arrangement so that the players could be behind the screen, and when it was time for them to come on, they would come out from behind the screen, which was made, I believe, out of blankets that we hung up with clothespins on wire.
That sounds about right.
I think this was in a particularly low budget performance, but it was. It was one of the plays that did indeed involve sword fighting, and so there was some of that going on. I have seen Darren's performances before. Those of Captain Joe's people who are avid Shakespeare fans should go to the Erickson Theater on the dates again, love?
Are August 18th and 19th.
18th and 19th. And you will be immersed with some wonderful young people. And Darren's been doing this for years, and it's just a great, great program. So we mentioned Point Robinson, and one of the things that you and I have done together is that you were you did tours for me out at Point Robinson for a number of years.
Yeah.
And then other activities in your life overtook that. But I'm going to tell you the story of a tour that I did on Sunday.
Great.
And that will probably make you really wish that you were still giving tours. So it's my the tours this year have turned out to be an incredibly rich things happening.
Fantastic.
Not a couple of tours ago, I had a teacher that came out, and we were and we got to talking about all kinds of things, and then she said to me, Captain Joe, she said, this is, teaching is really hard. And I said, yeah, it is hard. Of course it's hard. There are lots of things in life that are hard. And she said, I'm thinking about leaving the profession. And I said, how long have you been doing it? And she said, I'm on my second year. And I said, well, you're not even giving it a real hard chance. So I gave her the Captain Joe lecture number 14, which is the strengthening message, which is don't give up the ship. And we talked at some length about it. And she gave me some thoughts about things that had happened in her classes. She was teaching, started out teaching sixth grade, which is not an easy year.
No.
And that's when some puberty starts to kick in. And this year she's teaching fifth grade. And so we talked a little bit about things that you do to strengthen yourself so that you don't quit. At the end of the time, when she was leaving, she turned around and she said, Captain Joe, thank you very much. And I've heard from her by email since then.
Wonderful.
So last week, I was giving tours, and a young couple came, and they'd ridden their motorcycles there. And so we were talking about lighthouses. I encouraged them to go to other lighthouses, and I gave them the lighthouse poster, you know, the
yes.
poster that we have.
Yeah.
And then we were talking about what they do for a living. I don't know how these things get started with me, but somehow or other, all these people start wanting to share.
Mm-hmm.
So this gal has invented a article called a Kuma cloth. Her name is Anastasia.
Wow. Beautiful.
What do you think about a name, Anastasia?
That's a gorgeous name.
I think it's great. So Anastasia has invented, and she is the founder of the Kula cloth. So I'm going to read, I have one. She gave me one as a gift, as a sample. It says, and on the back of the packet, it says, welcome to the Kula community. As a former park ranger and backpacking instructor, I was frustrated to find discarded toilet paper in alpine environments. I started using and I'm looking at the list of words here, and the word pee is not on the list of words that we cannot say, and so I'm going to say it. I started using a pee cloth as a zero-waste alternative and wondered if I could design one that was a legit piece of gear. Now, Aaron, you've looked at this.
I have.
What do you think?
Looks like a legit piece of gear to me. I would buy one.
Oh, you would. All right. So anyway, I told Anastasia that I would check out on the island and see whether or not what would be the store that would sell this gear.
Northwest Sports.
Northwest Sports.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to check Northwest Sports mm-hmm. after this, and. Anastasia, I have fulfilled my commitment to you to mention this on the broadcast, but now I'm going to go back to Aaron because Aaron has proclaimed that she would buy a whole case of Kula cloths. I will say this to all of Captain Joe's people that for further instructions and about this, I'm waltzing around the edges of it as it is. And so I am urging people, just for the fun of it, to go to www.kulacloth, K-U-L-A-C-L-O-T-H, kulacloth.com. And there you will see a picture of Anastasia, and you will see her website, and you can learn all about the Kula cloth. But I want to get back to another thing that you and I have done together.
Mm.
And this is how we started out. Our relationship was with the low tide celebration.
Yeah.
So tell Captain Joe's people what it was that you did then and what you do now with low tide celebration, because this year we did it again for the first time after the virus.
Yeah.
And Aaron was a huge part of that. And I want not only to acknowledge that and to make sure that she is suitably applauded for that, but also to give her the opportunity to tell us what we did together to make that such a big success.
Well, lo, these many years ago, this celebration has really been transformed over the years that we've been working on it together, from something that was kind of a chaotic festival atmosphere of lots of people wandering up and down the beach and wading in the tide pools and picking up animals and learning lots about those animals, to as we have learned over the years about how to care for our neighbors who live on our shoreline and how to care for their homes, we've shifted the way that we celebrate them into and made it an opportunity for people to come and understand how to interact with our precious nearshore environment. You know, Vashon has the bulk of the non-bulkheaded seashore in this part of Puget Sound, and it's an incredibly precious resource. And so every year that we get to celebrate the low tide, we have a chance to go out and walk on the bare sand and touch the animals gently, rather than picking them up, just touching them where they are with one wet finger, learning what their eggs look like, learning how to tiptoe through the tube worms, and generally, you know, show love and care and understanding for how we can preserve these shoreline areas and their inhabitants that are so precious to us and to the whole marine ecosystem up and down Puget Sound.
Tell us how you interact in particular with the children, because we want this to be, and one of my emphasis is that this be in particular for the children, because we're starting them out.
Yes, indeed.
We are starting them out with the idea that this is their world, that we are passing on to them. So give us a few groups on that, Aaron.
Yeah. Well, you know, we have seen over the last decade and more that we've been doing this, we have seen a big shift in how families with children and teachers who are bringing groups of children to the beach, how we work with them and how we show them the animals in their own environment, and how important it is for the children, even really young children, 2, 3, 4 years old, to watch us as adults interact with these animals in their environment in a very gentle, very in a way that shows that we are respecting these animals and their habitat. And I have seen such a change in the way children on this island, and even children who come to the low tide celebration from off island, I think there is a level of education that we have managed to build up over the years where, you know, we don't see kids running into tide pools or picking up sea stars and throwing them or, you know, things like this. We see kids, you know, being fascinated and going slowly and looking down. What's that? You know, what is it? You know, are those eggs? Who laid those eggs? You know, they're asking questions. They're learning how these animals live and relate and eat each other and all these kinds of things that happen in the nearshore environment, in the eelgrass with the crabs and the snails and the little fish, and how incredibly rich that environment is. And there really has been an evolution in people's level of understanding and respect. And I see this even in the youngest children. It's really been one of probably the greatest gift that the Vashon Beach Naturalist Organization and now the new groups that have come to participate, like Puget Sound Corps and so many people that come together to make this event what it is, and who really have made this effort over years, and we're seeing the benefit of that effort now.
Do you think we're doing it better than we did when we first started out?
Oh, so much better. We have learned so much, and everything we learn every year goes back into the process. We remember it the next year. We set our sights higher every single year. And you can really see that in the participation when people have come from other beach naturalist organizations up and down Puget Sound. They come with their cameras and they take pictures of our signage and they watch how our beach naturalists work. So, I think we really are leading in this process of how to love and care for our precious nearshore environment.
So we have only 1+ minutes left, and I want you to recognize one of the failures that you have had with me, and that is that for many of our low tide celebrations, we have had a canoe come paddle across Puget Sound.
Yes.
And one of the things that Aaron has done is teach all of us the welcome song. And she's failed completely in teaching me or getting me to sing the go down on the beach and sing the welcome song. Would you like to quickly chastise me for that, Aaron?
Oh, well, you have done the most extraordinarily wonderful job welcoming the Blue Heron Canoe to our shores and in your official capacity. Yep. as leader of the low tide celebration. And it's okay. Not everybody is into singing Lachute Seed, but I'll teach that song to anybody anytime.
All right. So we have all too quickly come to the end of our time together. And this is indeed your Captain Joe. We never say goodbye. We say until we meet again. And as always, I am up in the captain's chair. All of you remain in the palm of my hand. And I am on station and watching properly.